It's raining. And it's like, what? Rained all night. It started raining right before I went to bed last night. Like, yesterday it was, like, warm. The day before that it was, like, uncomfortably hot. It's just some weird-ass weather. So I get credit card notices on my phone or whatever, right? I installed the right shit to make that happen. And, like, I always thought that, you know, I don't spend a ton of time, like, scrutinizing my credit card statement, which I probably should do, but I don't always do that. And, but there was something on there that popped up today that just said, like, $44. Payment processed by Stripe, which Stripe's, you know, like, they're one of the, like, Square type businesses or whatever, right? Or the, one of the things that does payment processing for small businesses or whatever. And I have no idea what this is for. You know, it's just like, I'm sure it's for something I fucking bought or signed up for. That, you know, it's like something to sign up for that bills quarterly, you know, who knows. But nothing in there says, like, you know, who, like, what the actual merchant name is or anything like that. So it's just, I don't, so I'm just staring at it going, like, I mean, I've certainly seen payments from this company, you know, I've seen stuff from Stripe show up before. But fucking, I don't know what it is. It sucks. Oh, you know what? I think it is a Kickstarter that closed. That's my guess. That's my new guess. That's my new guess. I'll have to check when I get back to a computer. Well, traffic looks like it sucks, which, I mean, it's raining, so, of course. And also, I slept strangely, so my neck is, like, my like pinched nerve feeling situation here. My neck and my shoulder. Always a good way to drive a car. You know, you don't really have full range of motion in your neck, I find. It keeps things interesting. And really, that's all you can ask for. Fuck. All right, I had one of these before, but it was in the fridge, and I needed something along these lines, so I grabbed it. I've got a Red Bull Total Zero Wild Cherry flavor. I remember these being not great. The orange one I thought was okay, not like outstanding, but like. I like my cherries wild, you know, or maraschino, which I think is, you know, to me, I think that's probably just like, that's Italian for wild, right? Because, you know, if maraschino cherries are involved, it's shit's getting pretty wild. So, it seems like going through this area here, kind of getting out of town, getting to the county line is where things get shaky, signal-wise, so you might lose me for a bit, but, or maybe you already did, I don't even know if you can hear me anymore. I never know. What leaked about Hellblade? I thought that game had been announced already. Is it just a trailer leak out or something? Huh. Yeah, and that Ratchet thing, I think, got announced also. Like, I mean, it's, they're probably just starting their PR cycle or whatever, right? I think they might have been bringing that Ratchet game around a bit. I don't actually know. Stuck in traffic. It's probably gonna be shitty the whole way there because it's raining. So the phone lines are open. You know, let's kick the tires on this stuff a little bit here before Saturday, right? What is it? 707-925-2662 is the number. You can call and make your voice heard in my car. In the car. New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Meter from New Jersey, the hellscape again.
Yeah, how's it going out there?
So, boy, is it still rough, if you can believe it.
I do.
So eventually hell will come out.
Wow. Well,
it is amazing.
Yeah, while you're waiting for the sweet release of death, what's on your mind?
Will the live show set up for E3 this year be as cobbled together and beautifully kind of super fucked up Louis Vuitton looking as we've come to expect, or do you guys maybe have a little bit nicer looking digs this time? Are you keeping it street?
It is a nicer looking space from the looks of things. It's got a lower seat. Like, our main thing going in was like, we wanted a spot with a lower ceiling so the audio would be a little better. That room was a little echoey last year, so we found something like that. Also, the show is sponsored this year. We actually closed a sponsorship deal for our E3 show. So there's going to be like one of those things that they do at movie premieres where it's like the logos and stuff that people take pictures in front of. That'll be the backdrop. So you know that it's in some ways that's better because it means that like we're doing this thing and it's working and it's growing and we get to spend a little bit more money on some stuff if we need it. On the other hand, it means that, you know, there's no Roman Reigns cut out on the back in the background, so that's a little less cool.
You gotta appreciate the trend of going up and up and up, and eventually you lose a little bit of the street cred. But I mean, what is success? Do you want to be staying in the Roman Reigns surrounded arena for the rest of your life, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's
the big boys.
I didn't necessarily like. We didn't start Giant Bomb to be your favorite game journalist's favorite game journalist. You know, like, we want to do well and grow and do cool shit and hopefully avoid the pitfalls that, you know, the other sites that have grown real big have kind of fallen into. So, that's the hope anyway.
Yeah, you guys been doing real good. I don't really go through a ton of gaming, like, journalism these days, because it's basically, I'm one of those people who end up getting, like, the big releases or whatever, and maybe some stuff on the side if it's free.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, you guys have been doing good coverage, doing good work.
Cool. Thank you.
And as far as I know, you didn't get back from the Rock Band event and talk about Filipino politics and stuff.
I mean, that was me that Colin was talking to. He just didn't use my... No, it's... Yeah. That event was kind of weird because IGN already had the exclusive on the vast majority of everything we were being shown, so it was like, here's some stuff that someone else has already reported on. You can write about it if you like. Like, no, that's, I mean, I don't know, maybe. It was just, yeah. Weird situation, so things happen. All right, well, you have a wonderful day in New Jersey.
If such thing is not possible, but I will do my damnedest.
All right, try real hard, and yeah, I'll talk to you later. See ya. So there was another call coming in there, but I hit the, like, hang up button thinking that it would make the other call ring through, but I think maybe that's not the thing you're supposed to do. All right, settle this for me. Is it pronounced Worcester? Worcester?
It's Worcester.
Worcester. All right.
Yeah. Worcester spelled like Worcester.
Worcester.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I know. That's Massachusetts. It doesn't make any sense. What's on your mind?
I feel vexed.
All right.
I am torn because between all the stuff that got leaked yesterday and some of the stuff that's being announced today, I feel like we are in reboot hell.
Yeah.
And this is days after Reboot has been announced to have a reboot.
Yeah.
The old cartoon from that, which looks like it's going to be terrible. It looks like it's a new version of, what is it, Super Samurai Squad?
Oh, Jesus. All right, that doesn't sound very good at all.
Yeah. No. So between Need for Speed and, well, we got Ratchet and Clank, maybe Gears, I'm not really sure, but I'm worried that all we're going to get for E3 is like this base reimagining. Like, basically, you have all these game developers coming in, it's a whole lot of new blood, and all they're being allowed to do is like remake these same games with new IPs and hopefully have a splattering of new ideas here and there, but
yeah,
ultimately it's just the same game again. Well, I need you to quell these worries for me.
So I think that, you know, the industry is changing in a way that, you know, like movies did, where everyone is afraid to take big, or not everyone, but, you know, largely, like, people are getting afraid to take big risks and come up with new stuff. And also, that's compounded by a lot of developers being very cautious going into this generation. Like being unsure if people would buy consoles or if phones were gonna really actually take over. So at the start of the process, the people that would be greenlighting new projects were very hesitant to do so. So they kind of got caught with their pants down and had to very quickly greenlight a bunch of projects and get a bunch of things up and running. And the fastest things to get going and get out are these reboots and revamps and remastered HD collections and all this stuff. So, like, to fill the gap while they're working on bigger games, at least that's the theory, they're getting this stuff out. And I think you have other situations where, like, you know, Sony is like a weird, like tire fire for when it comes to, like, first-party development right now. So, like, they've got stuff in the works, but everything got pushed. You know, like, The Last Guardian is still this weird albatross, you know, like, for them, it's like this weird situation for them. Drive Club was a mess. Like, Knack didn't do, you know, like from the launch of that console, the first-party games have been weird. So it makes sense for them to be in a situation to say, like, hey, we're gonna make Uncharted Collection happen because that's something we can do quickly. Like, the Gears remaster is something that my theory on the Gears remaster is that they had to give Gears of War to this new team. You know, Rod Ferguson went over there to, you know, they're called the Coalition now. They renamed it. And they are working on it. My take on this, my assumption on this, is that they're working on a brand new Gears of War, but in order to get up and running on what makes Gears of War Gears of War, it made sense for them to kind of take a detour and remake Gears 1. Because that'd be a faster project, and they're probably getting some external help on that. They're probably not doing it all themselves, but I could be wrong. So it probably makes sense for them to kind of just stop along the way to a new Gears of War to get up to speed on Gears of War development. And
get using the remake as a masterclass on how to, like, push that thing forward.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, yeah. I mean, you know, because it's you know, they've already said as much about working on kind of the next Gears of War, and I don't think Rod Ferguson would have gone over there just to remake Gears 1. Like, he was leading a team at 2K, and they were presumably working on something new. I mean, maybe 2K sucks to work for, I have no idea, but and maybe he wanted out of there anyway, but I don't think he would have come back to Gears if they were just remaking the old games. So I suspect it'll be a case where they're going to, I bet they'll announce two Gears of War games at E3, because they're going to get up there and say, hey, we're working on Gears 1, and also, hey, don't worry, we're working on a proper Gears of War 4, a proper Gears of War 5, whatever they end up calling it. But yeah, it sucks. Like, all these remakes, all these remastered things, like, especially for games that aren't that old, is a real bummer. I'm not liking it. It's really rubbing me the wrong way, too. So I hope we're kind of getting to a point where at least some of that can get offset by proper actual new games. And that Need for Speed game is a new game. I mean, I don't know why they've been rehashing. Like, they just run out of ideas or something. They've been rehashing names of old Need for Speed games. And now, like, they're calling it a reboot, and they're saying, but it's you know, it's a brand new game. It's going to have a new story. You know, they're not, like, cobbling together bits and pieces of an old Need for Speed game for that. They're just, at some point, saying, like, ah, fuck it. Let's just call it Need for Speed instead of coming up with, you know, yet another subtitle for it. So, like, I feel like that gets a pass. That doesn't necessarily seem like the worst end of offender of this sort of type.
Well, I guess all we can do is hope.
Yeah, all we can do is hope, I guess, right? Otherwise, it's going to be, you know, playing $15 games for the rest of our existence because all the $60 stuff is boring. And then, maybe there's nothing wrong with that, but it's, you know, I like big games, too, so it's kind of, I hope they break out of that. Totally, totally. All right, have a good day.
See ya.
Hey, you're on. Who is this? Hi, hello.
Hello, welcome to Brian and the Gooch, Hot Spurs Football. You see that striker from 30 yards away? The heck, Paul? Who's your favorite goalkeeper?
My favorite goalkeeper is, it's number 27. He's been handling shots on goal very effectively.
Hot Spurs, this league, they let us down. How do you feel about that? Were you disappointed this last Sunday?
Well, I think, you know, whenever you can pin the hopes of the entire side on one person, you know, it's almost inevitable that person's going to let the side down. And really, it's been a real up and down, topsy turvy season. And really, it's just been heartbreaking. But I still have faith that that they are going to come forward out of this and really rebuild and get to where they need to be.
Who's your favorite striker for next year? Who's your prospect?
My striker is Stryker. Larry Stryker. He's been outstanding on the pitch, and I think that next season he's going to make a real impact. And I think that's going to be his year. It's going to be his year. He's going to do the work in the offseason. You could see him making adjustments. You could see him figuring it out. And I think next year is going to finally be the year when he's ready to play at this level.
Right.
Next year,
Hotspurs number one,
taking
as a championship,
EuroLeague,
FIFA, if it's still
around, UEFA Champions Cup. And there's no corruption there. We're all very excited. Yes, thank you for your call.
No, it's Brian from Michigan.
If
anyone wants to know, I've called
you
a few times.
Hey, how you doing?
Just checking in from Michigan. Love your site, like always. Awesome to see Vinny and Alex doing the podcast now.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah. It's been a long time coming. It's been great seeing them finally get that thing going, and it's been doing real well. That's been cool to see.
It's nice to see Alex, the new hire. He seems legit.
Yeah, absolutely. Austin's been getting it going.
Oh, not Austin. Austin,
okay. Now Alex is the other new guy.
Yeah, Alex is doing it. Who is this Alex guy? He sounds like a goat, I heard. But
yeah, I don't know. He came out of nowhere.
So who's the big prospect for next week's shows? Is Obama going to be there?
You know, we reached out to a lot of different people this time, you know, tried to take a slightly different approach with the show. You know, we're going to have, like, basically slightly fewer people on overall, to try to have, you know, kind of, like, slightly more focused conversations. So it's more of a chair and couch setup as opposed to big table full of people. So we've gotten a little more selective about who we've invited and stuff. So, you know, Obama didn't make the cut. He's not shipping a game this year. So it just didn't seem like, you know, the year for him.
It's not an election year. He has no money in the game.
Exactly.
So I can understand. So shirtless or shirt wearing Greg Miller.
I suspect he would be shirtless, yeah. And I'm gonna be on their show on Tuesday as well. So yes.
Perfect. Are you gonna be on GameStop show at all, or that's just gonna be run by Danny and his crew?
I don't know. I think they're all booked up. I think they're booking their stuff. Maybe I'll run up there and slap Danny across the face for good luck, or, you know, whatever they do, whatever the game spot tradition is now. I don't know what it is, but I'll be with Greg Miller and those guys on the Giant Bomb Memorial stage, the stage that they put in their booth because they thought that we might want to do a daytime show, and then I said,
yeah, right.
No, we definitely don't want to do a daytime show. So
No, that's not talking about style. I love how you guys put up that, like, I don't know, what is it, 20-minute, like, just review the day at the end of it, just your thoughts, and then the big show. Well, now that I know it's going to be more personal, I just hope that it's going to be as funny, because you need to kind of have Dave Lang and multiple people there. You can stir up the craziness.
Absolutely. I can confirm that we are in talks with Dave Lang to see if he will be making an appearance or not. We're in talks. We're having discussions. The discussions are being had.
Alright, so are you gonna be on the show Florida? Or are you just basically gonna be manning the booth
and making sure everything's flowing with your three setups, basically?
I mean, I'm spending all of my time on the show floor or in appointments and stuff. My appointment schedule is actually kind of hairy this year. Because there's some stuff like, you know, there was one company that instead of booking one appointment, booked five, that were spread across the show, for one for each game. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to come back here for 15 minutes and see this. Then I got to go do this for half an hour. Then I got to come back here and do this. And, you know, I'm kind of all over the place, for the duration of the show.
Well, I understand that you got to like switch headsets and every single one of them. So that's understandable.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it'll be, yeah, it'll be a little hairy, hairier than it's been during the day for the past couple of years, but, you know, not nearly as crazy as I've had it in years past. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's some cool stuff on the schedule, so we'll see.
All right, are you watching any F1? I know I got drawn in by Drew and Danny.
No, I can't. I know a lot of people that are very big open wheel racing enthusiasts, but I've never been able to get a hold of it.
Okay, how about wrestling? You still watching wrestling?
I've been taking a break from it, partially because it's been busy and partially because it's been kind of bad. I don't know. I like the Kevin Owens Cena match that they had at that last pay per view. I thought was pretty good, but. I don't know, yeah. Like, the next big event they're having is happening, like, as we're going to be building up for Bethesda and stuff, yeah. So, yeah.
Yep.
Cool, well, all right.
Yeah, my favorite is Seth Rollins. All right, thanks for talking, Jeff.
Yeah.
Good. I'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll see you around. Bye. The traffic was good for a while, then it got bad. North Carolina, go on and raise up. Take your shirt off. Twist it around your hand. Spin it like a helicopter.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, good. All right, I just... Okay, as long as you're ahead of me on that one.
I have a pretty straightforward question for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Did you ever play Rings of Zilfin on the PC or the Atari?
Rings of Zilfin? No, I did not. Tell me about it.
Oh, it's a great game. You should check it out. It's like the original Skyrim.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Like Atari yeah. Computer? Like ST? Like what era are we talking here?
It was on the ST. I think it was also on the Commodore 64.
Okay.
And then PC as well.
All right.
Kind of across the board.
Yeah, no,
But it was a great game.
Yeah, when it comes to role-playing games of like kind of that era, like I played a lot of the Gold Box D&D stuff. You know, Pool of Radiance, it was a big one for me. I was never a big Ultima guy, but those games did it for me, so, yeah.
Cool. All right, well, that's all I got.
All right.
So, look forward to the E3 coverage. Have a good day.
Cool, you too. See ya. It's hot. Like, it's raining, but I'm actually hot here. All right, Ohio. I hit the button. It didn't go. Here we go. Nope, come on. Nope. Answer the call. Hello. Oh wait, you're coming. Hang on, you're coming through on the phone. Let me see if I can adjust this here. Something has gone awry. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Big fan of everything you do. Thank you for all of it.
Oh, cool.
I had
Thanks.
A question either about Nintendo or Dan Riker. It's up to you.
I mean, they're kind of one and the same in a lot of ways, but start with Nintendo.
You wind up shaking your head. So I saw the news about Hyrule Warriors 3DS.
Yeah.
Are they just porting things until Zelda comes out and maybe a Star Fox? Is everything burning like it seems?
You know, I don't know what the deal with Nintendo is. I you know, because Nintendo's kind of doing their own thing. And like, yeah, I think... they're in sort of a weird spot because they do have this split user base between 3DS and Wii U, and, you know, what games do they put where, and where do they devote their resources? Like, you know, it would make sense to devote more of it to the 3DS because I think there are way more of those out there in the world. But so, yeah, I guess I can't really blame them for doing that. But also, like, that port work's probably being done by, you know, Koei or somebody. It's not like it's taking up a ton of Nintendo's own resources, I'm guessing. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. I don't know what Nintendo is working on. I think it's fun to speculate about some of their stuff sometimes because there are so many different franchises that you kind of wish that they would dig back into. But I don't know. What's been going around? I feel like people... I saw a few people saying, like, oh, Punch-Out must be coming back because they did the whole sweatshirt Reggie thing. They wouldn't do that if they weren't bringing it back or whatever, but I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah, they'll do Star Fox, they'll do, you know, Mario Maker is still coming out. That will hopefully be awesome. Personally, I would like to see them do a proper Amiibo game to make Amiibo make sense, to say, like, okay, here's one thing that supports every single Amiibo we make. It's not just like, hey, this game works with three Amiibos. I think it would be cool for them to make some kind of, you know, Skylanders-esque kind of thing of, like, hey, they can all come in and do stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Nintendo's in this weird position where they've kind of tipped their hand slightly about a next platform, and now that's going to dog them for the next year until they talk more about it. But they still have games in development for their current platforms, and those aren't going away anytime soon. So it's sort of strange, the position they've found themselves in.
Oof. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like Amiibos have potential, but I don't understand why I would want one except for the nice sculpting.
Yeah, totally. It's weird because I think that they are less, like, devious than Infinity Figures and Skylanders and stuff like that because they do less. You know, so it's like, it's, you know, if you take the negative approach to stuff like Skylanders, it's like, well, this is the worst type of on-disc DLC. I have to go buy this $15 figure, this $12 figure or whatever, just to unlock a character in this game. And that's sort of a bummer. But the positive side of that is, like, it's kind of cool that it does that. It's kind of cool that you have this figure that actually does something meaningful in a game. And then, like, the Amiibo don't really do anything meaningful in a game. We lost him there. He hung up, or he had enough. He's like, fucking, fuck Amiibo. Click. But anyway, yeah. The Amiibo situation is really strange because I don't see a good video game reason to own any of them. Because they don't make them do anything cool in any of the games they've been supported in, you know? Whereas, like, you know what you're getting with a Skylander. Looking into the people that are cloning Amiibo with an Android phone with NFC support and stuff is like a really interesting dark hole to crawl down if you're into that. Huh, someone just called and I think hung right up. Or there are issues. My phone just says call failure. All right, Florida. Is it Florida or is it Flo-rida?
It's Florida.
Okay, good. All right. If this was Flo-rida, we would have words, man. That song is bullshit. What's on your mind?
Just a general question, maybe an observation and a general question. It seems like E3 is not only starting a day earlier this year with basically Sunday morning with an extra Nintendo presentation, and basically, for what I can tell, ending Tuesday evening. What do you think? It seems like the actual show floor, they days in all of this seem to be kind of worthless. At least that's the sense that I'm getting on the outside.
That I think from the outside, that's always been the case, because the press conferences are where all the heat is, you know? That's where you can see all the trailers are out by Tuesday at noon when the show floor opens, you know? So there aren't really a lot of things held past that. The show floor is for, like, hey, here are the things that are playable. But increasingly, like, you know, like, companies are making fewer big games and all that sort of stuff, and that stuff's getting announced in different windows and shown in different situations. So in those terms, like, you know, if I went to every single pre-show event that I've been invited to, there would be, like, two or three more companies that I wouldn't have to see during the show because they're showing stuff off ahead of time. And that's kind of always how it's been, but I think it's just more and more companies are leaning in that direction, and there are fewer companies. Like, as we were booking appointments this year, there was that feeling of, like, oh, is that it? Okay, is that it for like, the kind of company, the can't-miss companies? And then the rest of it's kind of like, there's stuff there that we'll see because we have the time, and, you know, and we're certainly filling up a schedule still, but it's like, some of it is, like, a little iffy. You're like, eh, you know, we don't have to go see this game, but we should, because we're here, and there's nothing bigger taking up that space. It seems like that there's just, there are fewer companies out there with big lineups. So I think a lot of that has changed. And I think, like, the reasons for E3 existing are still very up in the air these days, and you know, more and more companies just don't necessarily need E3 to announce a game. They can announce it themselves on the internet and reach the exact same number of people that they reach with E3, because those people are dedicated to following game coverage day in and day out. So, you know, for that sort of audience, for the crowd that knows what E3 is and all that sort of stuff and follows it from, like, a coverage perspective, it just doesn't matter the same way it used to. And for a lot of the smaller developers that are picking up a lot of that slack, and in terms of just, like, sheer number of releases and all that sort of stuff, those smaller developers don't show at E3 because it's very expensive to show at E3. So unless Sony or...
Yeah, they show at PAX where it's cheaper.
Exactly, exactly. So unless Microsoft or Sony says, hey, come show your game in our booth, you know, a lot of those games just don't show up at the show at all. And so in terms of just, like, looking at gaming, all of gaming, E3 is less relevant because a lot of games don't, you know, don't fit that kind of style. Don't fit that type of presentation and stuff. So it still serves its various purposes for investors and buyers and all that sort of stuff. The kind of non-press, non-coverage elements of E3 still need to happen. But yeah, I think you're right. It's, you know, it's been heading in that direction. It's always been that way to a certain extent, but I think more than ever, yeah, the week before E3, the press conferences leading up to E3, that's where all the action is.
And I guess, how much did everything happening on Sunday, there's like 5 or 6 different conferences now on Sunday, kind of mess up your guys' schedule, which usually you guys use Sunday to set up?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're going on Saturday now to set up for Bethesda on Sunday, and that's kind of the thing that we're looking at as, like, our start-up show is talking over the Bethesda press conference and going that way with it, you know? And that's, you know, that's fine. Like, it's a day earlier, but it's fine. You know, we just had to kind of pay for an extra day on our shooting space and make sure that we would have our gear there in time to actually build it up and make it happen. So all the gear, I think, shows up Friday or Saturday. So it'll all be there well ahead of us, and we should just be able to get it set up and go.
And, yeah, hope for a good E3.
Cool. Yeah, I hope it's a good show too. We could use some big announcements. I think gaming needs some excitement at that level that it's been missing for a little bit here. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Have a good day in Florida. All right. He hung up. This is a double shot of Florida. This is unprecedented.
It certainly is. Florida sucks. Don't ever live here.
Okay, no. The one time I went to Miami, it seemed very dirty and disgusting.
Yeah, I'm in Sarasota. It's dirty and disgusting, even in the wintertime. It's horrible.
Great.
Take my advice. Never live here. Anyway,
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing okay. This traffic is terrible, but other than that, it's fine.
Yeah, well, whatever. That's life, right?
Yep.
So, I think everyone sort of knows that this generation is a bit of a tire fire, right?
What has been?
This gaming generation is somewhat of a tire fire.
Sure, yeah, it's been weird. It's been weird.
So, my question is, why do you think that is? They had, 7 years to prepare. No one seems prepared.
Well, keep in mind that those 7 years were also where you saw the rise of the iPhone, the rise of smartphones in general, and a lot of dollars going towards free to play, the rise of free to play, the kind of rise of the smaller independent game. You saw a lot of the fortunes of the mid-tier publishers fall away. Of companies like Midway and THQ and that sort of stuff, you know, just kind of ancient history at this point. So those companies weren't there to kind of fill in some of the gaps with smaller games, like, you know, kind of your B-tier console games, because that tier doesn't exist anymore. And it left everyone in this lurch where I think there was a real question as to whether or not consumers wanted to buy consoles anymore. And if either of the new machines would do any business at all, or if they would just be dead. So everyone took a real cautious approach, and so they didn't spend 7 years getting ready for it. They instead spent a lot of that time going like, well, can we put The Sims out on phones? Can we do that? Can we do this? You know, and kind of diversifying away from consoles in some ways. Then the consoles came out and sold like fucking gangbusters. Like, out of the gate, it was a very dominant, like, no, people still care about consoles. And then that just caught everyone with their pants down. They're like, holy shit, we need to make games now fast. And it's been interesting to watch. You're starting to see, you know, there were the, you know, like, games got smaller in the last generation. Or smaller games became viable in the last generation due to stuff like Xbox Live Arcade. And the PlayStation Network, and, you know, just Steam getting bigger and bigger. But then on top of that, the budgets for some of those games are now starting to come up in a way that space is becoming really competitive. You know, they're spending more money developing these kind of smaller games. You know, I think we're going to see stuff where, like, you know, $30 games become a viable price point for stuff that's, like, bigger than the traditional downloadable game, but not quite as big as a full retail release. So we'll see that kind of mid-tier maybe start to establish itself over the next year or so. And try to catch up, because I think everyone spent a lot of time very worried that their businesses were going to get destroyed by the phone market. And it seems like that hasn't happened yet, but still could happen down the line. So everyone's just like fucking running around like lunatics going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, we got to make games, make console games, go.
Yeah.
So it's been that's really been disruptive to a lot of stuff.
And of course, they can't make the game, so they bring back the old game.
Right? Yeah. So the fastest approach to, oh shit, we need to make some games, is to polish up your old
games. What worked last time?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Let's make sequels to that stuff. Let's republish some of these games we did. We'll make them run a little bit nicer. And the downside of that has been, like, this has been the first generation where the consoles launched less powerful than the PC. And that's been, or maybe the first or second generation. Anyway, like, right out of the gate, it was apparent. And you saw it in some of these re-releases, too, where you're just like, this still runs better on the PC, you guys. Like, this is not impressive. This is, like, you look at this and go, like, oh, this is, like, better than the 360 version, but still not the version you want to play. And I think that's exposed the consoles as being, like, relatively weak compared to where we're at on the PC. And that hasn't felt good.
Yeah, this has been one of the longest periods where I just haven't felt compelled to upgrade my computer because I haven't needed to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, the thing about the PC side is it was always kind of dragged forward by console development. You know, it was like, okay, well, the console's kind of left forward a little bit, so we need to release our next graphics part to match that stuff, to surpass that stuff, because games are now being built to target consoles.
But if the consoles are already less powerful than the PC, then, you know, then the PC market probably suffers a little bit as well.
All right, well, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
You know, long-time listener, all that.
Cool.
Always love hearing your insight. Have a good E3.
All right, you too. Thanks. See ya. Los Angeles, what are you doing? You're on. Hello. I cannot hear you. Well, there was that, I guess. All right, good. We finally got some Canadian callers on here. I think we can qualify this stream as Canadian content. But we have to talk about the Bare Naked Ladies. Okay, go.
I did put a new album, actually.
Yeah, I heard. I heard that they had a new album out. That did not... I don't want to hear it. I bet it's no good, because it's the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, it's probably not the Charlie Stooges at the same time, but I think I'm okay with the treasure. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's on your mind this fine morning?
Well, like a lot of people mentioned, the news announcement got me pretty excited. And it also makes me wonder about what it's going to look like. I've been wondering, considering you know, the gameplay of Fallout, especially when you go back to it these days, you know, it doesn't really hold up a lot to, you know, when you compare it to other modern RPGs like Lock the Orphan, you know, the older Fallouts or even the new trailer with The Witcher and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just for me, I remember, like, in Vegas, even just to fucking switch weapons, you have this giant inventory and you have, like, 30 guns, you know, just using three or something like that. Like, do you think they're going to make big core improvements to the gameplay? Like the kind of stuff we saw like when you compare the inventory in Elder Scrolls Oblivion to Skyrim?
I hope so. I mean, I think that, you know, like, they would probably start with Skyrim as the base for their, like, interface improvements and stuff like that for a new Fallout. But I think, yeah, there's probably a lot they could do to kind of streamline parts of that game to just make it a little easier to get around your gear and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I suspect that, you know, they'll definitely make changes over what you saw in Fallout 3. Like, will it be far enough? Like, you know, kind of who knows? I thought Skyrim was pretty playable on consoles or pretty playable with a controller. Like, the interface and stuff worked out well enough when you take into account how big a game that is and the scope of it and the scope of what your inventory needs to accomplish. But yeah, I don't know. I would like to see them revisit a lot of the systems and really, like, revisit the core elements of the gameplay, you know, kind of really rethink, like, VATs, really rethink, like, the, you know, the stats and perks and a lot of that stuff. I think there's some perks that, you know, they're just, like, fan favorites you have to bring back, but, you know, I would love to see them just, like, toss a lot of that stuff. And then figure out what works. Like, sit down and go, like, okay, like, if we were starting from scratch on Fallout, from just, like, an interface and systems perspective, what would we do?
Yeah.
That'd be. I hope that they would take that approach to it instead of just kind of iterating on what they've done. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they're working on the same modified version of Gamebryo that Skyrim did, right?
I don't actually know. Have they said definitely that's the case? Because it's like, I kind of hope that they, with the amount of time they've taken between games, I kind of hope that they are doing way more work than that, but I don't know. I don't know at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Apparently we'll also see the new Doom at the Bethesda conference, right?
Yes, but I mean, it seems, I mean, that's an announced game. Presumably it would be there. I figure that whatever Arcane is working on will probably be there, too, in some form. And then they have their free-to-play game, that Battle Cry thing, so they'll probably talk about that, too.
Oh, okay. I think it's just decent there. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because, you know, I don't know, Doom just kind of feels like an FPS at this point. It'd be really interesting to see how they manage to bring it up and make Doom 4 actually live up to the hype.
Yeah.
And create around it.
Yeah, because, like, they showed it at QuakeCon, and, you know, they didn't put that video out, but everyone who was at QuakeCon said it looked really cool. But then it's the audience at QuakeCon, which is, of course, those are going to be the people that are going to think a Doom game is going to look cool. So, yeah, I don't know what they would even do to that, but, like, they ultimately did right by Wolfenstein last time out, so...
That's true, yeah.
You know, Bethesda with Doom, we'll see.
Wolfenstein certainly proved that the sort of old, almost Half-Life 2 era kind of FPS core gameplay still works, right?
Yeah, I think so. So, it's... It remains to be seen what they end up doing with Doom, but yeah, I hope that they're doing something cool and not just making like a retro style shooter in the negative sense. Like, you know, like there's been a lot of that stuff. Your Shadow Warriors, Rise of the Triad, and you know, like that sort of stuff that's been cool to see, but it doesn't exist as this big like spectacle. I think to make something that's big and huge and worthy of being called Doom 4. Like, it needs to be larger and more ambitious than that, but we'll see.
Yeah, you probably need to step up the generation.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll have a
terrific day. Caller.
Yeah, good to hear from you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. I'm approaching the spot where traffic usually is and then lets up, but there's been traffic the whole way here. Man, New Jersey again. New Jersey!
Oh, shit! Jeffrey Gerstmann!
Lay it on me!
I didn't actually expect to... Okay, first off, not New Jersey, Los Angeles.
Oh, man.
Right now.
Okay.
Problematic, I know.
Yeah.
It's a big clusterfuck, especially leading into E3, which I currently have a press pass for. It's going to be my first time.
Cool.
And, all of it's sort of just recently fallen through. Okay, let me start over.
All right.
I am a VR developer with Oculus Rift experiences.
Cool.
Specifically, I started a VR porn company with my friend.
Great. Good idea. Terrific.
And... he and I just recently had a falling out.
Ah.
So I moved back to New Jersey temporarily, and I'm not going to E3 this year.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Oh? Like, kind of at a crossroads here.
Yeah.
The capacity to make great games and, like, you know, not jump on this whole porn bandwagon, not strand myself in the shithole of the desert that is Los Angeles.
Yep.
But I really want to go to E3. And I really want to... I don't know. Have I dodged a bullet?
Well, I mean... it's hard to say. I mean, you think about VR porn as a market, and, like, it's a lot harder to duplicate, I would think, than, you know... like, the thing that ate up the porn market before was that it was just too easy to pirate the content. So...
right.
You know, wow.
That's kind of our boon right now. Like, our first-party content, we use basically, like, this is the only use case for the Kinect right now. We use an Xbox One Kinect as a depth-sensing camera.
Yeah.
And we, like, take a projection-mapped image of the models and display that in the VR environment.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of, you can't reproduce it. You can't pirate that.
Right, or yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
I mean, of course you can.
You can pirate anything if you try hard enough. But yes, it's a little protected out of the gate, at least, in a way that, like, you know, all the people in Canoga Park shooting porn are stuck, you know? But yeah, that seems like a short-term thing at best, because eventually...
right.
Like,
we got into, like, Wired. Like, we... Vice did a piece about us, but, like, not on the basis of, like, hey, these guys are doing great work. It's like, hey, VR porn's a fun thing to talk about. And, like, once, you know, once everyone jumps on this bandwagon and it becomes easy enough that, you know, people in Canoga Park can do their due, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, no matter how much of a head start we've got going on this thing, I feel like, and yet, it's the real issue is that this is the only use case anyone provide for virtual reality. They, you know, they mutter it under their breath. They say it as a joke, but it's like, you know, I can't think of any sort of, like, modern gameplay, you know. Sorry, a little nervous. Didn't expect to get on the call. I'm talking with you,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah, thanks.
Anyway, but, like, the only game mechanics that, like, have any sort of bearing on modern game design are completely thrown out the window when you want to have any sort of immersive and enjoyable experience in VR.
Yeah.
So, like, the only thing that anyone can come up with is, like, well, I don't know, porn would be good for it. And, like, is this a shit show, Gershwin?
I don't know. Like, yeah, it's, I think that, like, you're right, but also, like, it's, I think it's going to be up to, like, creative game developers to figure out what the new experiences are, and
that's me, and I'm reading my mind over here.
Yeah.
Nothing. We got nothing.
Yeah, no, it's that's been the crazy part, because a lot of the stuff that you see is just like, well, this is just a first-person game. Like, you've just kind of,
yeah,
you've just released the camera on a first-person perspective game, and either you're shooting or you're not shooting, because you're exploring or something. It's like, oh, I'm in space. Like, okay, that's cool. But yeah.
Or like anything that really is designed from this perspective, like that Penumbra, gosh, fuck, I don't remember. There was a quick look of it a couple months ago. There's that game where you solve puzzles by looking at something or not looking at something.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And what that amounted to was an entirely useless gaming experience, like entirely unenjoyable from the perspective of anything other than VR. And even in VR, it was kind of shit.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's going to bring the entire medium down with it, like the enjoyability of all of game experiences on all platforms, and it's not really worth it. But yet is the one thing anyone's saying. But like,
right.
I don't know, man. I'm racking my brain here.
Yeah, I think it's like this is going to be it. Like in a week's time, we will know if anyone has figured it out or not. You know, and that's the
scariest part. Like, that's why I was going to E3 this year, and like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm sitting on the sidelines now.
Yeah.
But let's not make this about me. Let's make this about like the state of the, like, this is the gamble the industry's like bent on taking.
Totally.
And
it's
desperately necessary in an increasingly stagnant, both creatively and individually.
Yeah,
it
is.
The AAA industry.
Totally, but it's also, it's a huge risk, because, like, I think that the use case for VR is, like, think about the, like, who amongst us has, like, the time to be truly immersed for a long period of time, the same way you would play a role-playing game or a first-person shooter for 6 hours at a time. Will the gear be so comfortable that people can play for that long a period of time, or will people get sick? Like, Like, what's going to happen to people that have families and stuff? Like, oh, you know, like, I can't disappear for 3 hours straight because I have kids or something like that. Like, the use cases become narrower and narrower and narrower for stuff like VR. And it's everyone's buying into it right now based on, like, Rift Coaster and, like, you know, like, 10-minute demos and stuff that you put it on and you go, like, this is awesome. But if you can't, like, I don't know if you can stretch that into a full game without making people sick. Or without, you know, like, making it so people have to play it in short bites, like short chunks. And that's the real test, right?
I've spent, like, significant amount of time in VR experiences. I've played through all of, like, Half-Life 2 in VR, a lot of Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
Which is, strangely enough, less nauseating than you think. But these are games that are, like you said, they're just first-person experiences transported into... it's removing the camera from putting on a different gimbal, you know, it's the same programming, same game mechanics, nothing's developed or evolved, and the only worthwhile experience I've had, and I've tried all of them, is that you did it on the professional practice once, new retro arcade, that
right,
experience,
yeah,
where you, like, you have, you can, like, modularly put in your own main emulator.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like, I spent hours in that thing, just like, but like playing through A Link to the Past, you know?
Yeah.
And like,
exactly.
That's the real mindfuck, right? Like, the only thing that managed to, like, I've seen, like, full fledged, kind of shitty, made by one guy, but still full fledged, like, RPG games where, you know, they are VR intended mechanics. There are, you know, they're not done. They're all on green light, but they're games that you can play now, and
yeah,
like, I can't sitting there for more than 10 fucking minutes being like, I don't know. Like, I'd rather do anything else. And yet, like, the one thing that is, it's basically just a room and a collection of screens. And I'm like, wow, the knobs move when I'm playing Arkanoid.
Right, exactly, like, yeah. But, like, what, I think the big test, though, is, like, what happens when you take developers, like great game developers with proven track records and give them this technology? Because you're right, like, a lot of this stuff is, like, you know, it's an RPG done by one guy, it's on green light, it's not finished. Like, you know, there's so much, like, stuff out there that's just proof of concept or just, like, you know, very small kind of indie demos. That, like, what happens when Sony gets behind it and throws some production value in it? What happens when, you know, like Microsoft gets in with their hologram shit? Like, you know, like, what happens when someone spends real money on a product? Like, what, like, so what is something that is super polished up and meant for commercial use? What does that look like? And I think that's going to be the
difference.
I don't
want to start sounding tinfoil hat, but I think that, like, the only people that are doing anything with it, and the only people capable of doing anything with it, because, I mean, I've heard rumblings that the Morpheus stuff they're working on right now is essentially just more glorified tech demos, because, like, there's just not enough processor power there. But the one thing that, you know, I feel has any merit is, and it to be viewed from a first-person perspective.
Right, yeah.
Like, immersion is the intent.
Right,
like,
exactly,
that's
yeah.
That's all it takes, you know? They don't have to entirely revamp everything they know about game design, just provided they, like, they are aware of what they're aiming for.
Totally. I think that, like, there is... it might not happen this year. It might not happen next year. I don't want to, like, commit to a timetable, but I 100% believe that the next Half-Life game will be built as a VR experience.
I mean, it couldn't be anything but.
Exactly.
Like, just imagine you play that with a mouse and keyboard, and it was the same SMG model as, like, Episode 1, and you're walking around and talking to Eli